He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kaskel, and you're listening to The Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. This show is really to turn on its head what's known as conventional wisdom, which is usually wrong. And in this next case, unfortunately, it's been dead wrong. Thank God things are slowly changing in the nutrition world, and we're finally realizing that low-fat diets are actually causing more deaths and disease than curing disease. The Mediterranean diet is gaining ground. Fast is one of, perhaps maybe one of the best style lifestyles to live. Nina Teicholz has written, in my opinion, what should be the nutrition Bible for all practicing doctors, and that includes cardiologists who continue to tout low-fat, low-cholesterol diets to their patients and are creating more diabetes and obesity than ever before seen in our history. Nina's book, The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. I hope all that will change and soon. Nina, you've brilliantly looked at all the data from pretty much all the diets we've tried over the years. And have you come up with a decision on which one, and I don't like using the word diet, but which lifestyle do you think is superior to all others?
Well, every doctor knows there is a tremendous range in human metabolism and different, you know, there's a different tolerance level of carbohydrates for people. So for people who are already have tipped over into an intolerance for carbohydrates, and that is the symptoms of that are obesity and diabetes. Those people seem to be able to reverse those conditions. In other words, lose tremendous amounts of weight and sustainably, and also reverse their dependence on medication by going on a high-fat, carbohydrate-restricted diet. And in those diets, protein is also fairly low, moderate. It's not a high-protein diet. One of the ways of describing that diet is that it's ketogenic, meaning your fuel, the fuel source of your body switches from glucose to ketone bodies, which is basically your fat.
So, right. So I want to interrupt because every time I talk about that, someone says, well, wait a minute, doctor, you're suggesting I become ketoacidotic? And they want to confuse ketosis with ketoacidosis. Nobody understands the difference that one is actually a preferred state of being by the body and the brain, and the other one is dangerous.
Ketoacidosis is a kind of uncontrolled state that occurs with diabetics, I believe, and that is not what ketosis is. If you think of your body like a hybrid car, your body can get fuel either from glucose, which comes from carbohydrates, but in the absence of carbohydrates, it will switch to ketone bodies, which are generated from your triglycerides, your fatty acids. And so that if you become ketotic and relying on your fat, that literally means you're burning your fat for energy. And that is a state that it's a state where people are able to, because they are controlling their insulin, they're able to reverse the diabetes, they're able to lose weight because those ketones are their fat cells, so they're burning their fat cells, and they are also able to improve their heart disease risk factors. And I'm I'm talking about the most up-to-date, best reliable predictors of heart attack risk, which are not total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol, but rather your LDL particle number and the type of LDL cholesterol you have, because those more accurately predict your heart attack risk, and those look fine on a high-fat diet, even if that fat is saturated.
I have never found a better way to lower people's heart risks and all their particle numbers. Nothing's better than lowering their carbohydrate intake, and better than any drug I've ever used, better than fibrates, better than fish oils, better than statins. You want a lower particle number, you get rid of the carbs that drives everything, and it is so hard to get that across to patients, to other doctors. It is it's having to change a mindset, brainwashing. It's so, so difficult.
Well, you're really on the front lines of this. So you know what that is like. I mean, I know that there is now a huge what I call the paleosphere, a group of websites and practitioners, and particularly people in the training community, people who are trainers, trying to help people lose weight. There's a huge community of people around this carbohydrate, the idea of carbohydrate restriction being healthy, and helping people lose weight. But it is, you know, still a tiny minority.
Right. So I have diabetic educators come in my office from the drug companies, and these are women that are supposedly highly trained. And I ask, what is the minimum daily requirement for carbohydrate? And they immediately answer, 130 grams, doctor. And I say, well, you know, in my reading, I see that the human body has no requirement for carbohydrate. We can make our own, and it's zero. And so here we are with science versus what the rest of the world and the pharmaceutical companies are telling us, that we need to be eating 130 grams of sugar a day as minimum. And most people are eating about 300 grams a day. It's crazy out there, Nina.
You know, the actual minimum that they calculated with for that number was around 50, and then they just doubled it as like a randomly as a source of that's what's written in the scientific paper. We're just going to double it as a protective measure randomly. And but as you say, your body can generate from its proteins can generate its own carbohydrate needs. I mean, your carbohydrate needs are your glucose needs are tiny. They're in the brain and for the retina, and you can generate what you need.
Right. I want to get you talking about specific oils. My favorite oils are coconut and olive. I could live on coconut oil alone. I can cook with it. I can wash my hair with it. I can clean my mouth with it. It's great for skin rashes. I don't want to sound like a alternative doctor here, but it is a fantastic oil, and it, too, was demonized politically. Tell that story quickly if you can.
Okay, well, the reason we believe that coconut and palm oils, the so-called tropical oils, are bad is that in the late 1980s, the American Soybean Association basically launched what was described to me as a slander campaign to get rid of the foreign competition in their markets. And so they launched this campaign that was very successful and got all Americans to think that tropical oils were terrible for health. But in fact, they've been part of healthy diets and healthy populations for many thousands of years, and coconut oil is a particularly great oil, especially for people who don't want to eat animal products.
Great. Nina, thank you so much. Everybody go get her book, read it, tell your doctor to read it so he can get some actual education from someone besides a drug rep. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Remember, never let anyone else do your thinking for you, and stay skeptical, my friends.